Okay, good afternoon. And it is a few days actually after the night before. Normally it is the morning after the night before. And yes, we are live again. Welcome to In the Line of Hire, the show that brings you instant reaction, or a few days later than instant, on the views of the wonderful TV show The Apprentice. You know this by now, but I was lucky enough to be part of The Apprentice journey by winning Series 4 back in 2008. And over the past kind of 8 or 9 weeks or so, we've been running a series and continue to run a series of shows, looking back on the past of 2022 with some very, very special guests. Most weeks, as I normally say each week, we will be joined by our resident expert on the business psychologist side of things, my business brother and the CEO of our assessment platform, Phoenix 51, Chris Wimshurst. Unfortunately, Chris can't be with us today, so you've got the dulcet tones of me looking at that data side of things as well. But you can also follow us on Twitter, on Instagram, LinkedIn. We're live now, so please get involved on either on the Super Chat or on the comments on LinkedIn as well. But I'm absolutely delighted this week to be joined by the 2019 finalist of The Apprentice, director of Harper Fox Partners, business partner to Lord Sugar, and the REC ambassador as well, the amazing Scarlett Allen Horton. Scarlett, how are you getting on?
Thank you, Lee. So, so good. So happy to be here and really excited to speak to you, actually, and talk apprentice. It feels like it's been a long time. So thank you so much for having me.
You're absolutely welcome. Thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it. The key thing here is, as well, is that certainly back in my day, it was so long ago that I won The Apprentice. I'm loving doing these shows because it bringing up all these sort of memories and all that sort of stuff. What have you been up to since your amazing performance on the 2019 series? What have you been up to, Scarlett?
Honestly, so much. Thank you so much. Massively, massively enjoyed doing the show. It was absolutely phenomenal experience. Couldn't speak any more highly of it, to be honest. And then after that, it was kind of like the dreaded wait as to who's going to win, which you must have experienced as well, right? I know it was a little while ago now, but the dreaded wait. And then, of course, we kind of heard that Karina had won, which was incredible. And then soon after that, that I was going to get investment too, which was really exciting. So focus for me has been really growing Harper Fox Partners, which is going really well. We've opened up a couple of offices now in addition. So we've got 3 offices, two in the UK, 1 in Houston in the US. So trying to take over the US energy market as well. And we've grown the team. We're continuing to do that. And just really being involved in all the things that I guess I'm passionate about, which is business, which is diversity, which is kind of really elevating senior females and ethnic minorities as well in the STEM sector. So doing a huge amount within those fields and lots of ambassadorships as well. So, yeah, it's been amazing.
It's such an incredible journey. Actually, I wanted to ask you, just taking yourself back to that decision when you're waiting on who's going to win and how it actually works, just give some of the viewers and some of the listeners, for those of us who listen in audio, what is that actually like, Scarlett? I mean, it's really difficult because you're in a process on telly that looks like it's quite short, but actually it's quite a long process, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I don't know how much we can say, Lee. So Lord Sugar will be telling me off. But yeah, it is a longer process. And actually, I have to say that I think when you're waiting, actually from the audition side of things, to filming it, to actually who goes on to win the process, it's actually really is quite lengthy. Yeah. You know, you actually don't really know where you stand for a period of time, and it's quite scary. But I think for me, it just pushed me further. I thought, well, all I can do is what I can do, so I'll just continue moving forwards with the business, which I did. I needed to do that anyway. I've got responsibilities and 2 daughters and so forth. But yeah, it's certainly nerve wracking to say the least.
So let me put it straight then. So you are an entrepreneur. You're an intelligent woman in business. You're a mother of 2 daughters as well.
Yeah.
And you've set up your own business and got the backing of Lord Sugar off the back of being a finalist in The Apprentice. I mean, where do you fit all of that in, Scott? That is incredible.
Thanks, Lee. I just don't know. No, I don't know. It's a lot. It's a lot. I had my children quite young, so they're not babies anymore, and I think that probably helps. But actually, in many ways, if I'm totally honest, I think that's really driven me, because I had the girls young and I moved out at 16 and I was in supported accommodation, and I think all of those things really drive you forwards, and you're like, I absolutely have got to do well, because if I don't, I literally can't feed my children. Very kind of, you know, it's quite a reality check and quite a humble kind of background, I guess. So it really sort of pushes you and spurs you forwards. And actually, you know, I'm a massive advocate of kind of like resilience. And I think you've got to go through some trials and tribulations to really be motivated to kind of be the best that you can possibly be. So in answer to your question, it's definitely a juggling act. Yeah. I realized this morning that I missed my daughter's marathon end run at school. I don't always get it all right, but ordinarily I think you just prioritize well and put your heart into everything at the times that you're doing those things as well.
Well, it's really interesting because, you know, similar sort of background. I've got three girls, actually, not two daughters, I've got three daughters. I don't know how old your daughters are, but mine are 10. And I've got twins that are 8, so they're still quite young.
They are young, yeah.
But obviously, you know, stating the obvious, I'm a man, right, rather than being a woman, and I've always find, you know, having worked with my wife back in the day and also seen her career and how she's developed and looking at women in business and being, you have a rougher ride. There is no doubt about it, you know, that men don't have to go through half the stuff maybe that women have to go through. So I totally take my hat off to you and any entrepreneurs, but entrepreneurs that are doing it and also doing 3 or 4 other things at the same time is massively rewarding, I have to say.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's a really interesting point that you touched on. And if I'm totally honest with you, I think that's starting to change, thank goodness. And I think that there's some flex. And actually, in many ways, I think the pandemic has helped that. I think there's more flexibility. We realise that actually a lot of caregivers, which tend to be women, not always, but they tend to be women, are able to be more flexible and can work in a more hybrid way, which then enables them to elevate. I totally agree with you. I'm very much a big advocate of kind of how do we maybe break down some of these barriers and how do we support everybody, I guess, to those senior levels if that's what they want to do. And you will know, because you're of course from the world of recruitment as well, recruitment and search are very well known for very long hours, you know, a huge amount of hours, quite old school tactics sometimes, not so much now, but it was certainly when I entered the industry. And I've you know, you probably had the same experience. And that was one of the motivators for me to set up the business, because I knew I wanted to be able to do my school runs. So if I worked around those, which I do. Yeah. So in our office, for example, like we support complete flexible working. Unless I'm on meetings, I do the school runs every day and I just log back on and I work in the office during school hours and I kind of juggle it all. And that was a huge motivation for opening the business. And that's why I think it's so important for entrepreneurship, for women in particular as well.
Yeah, I completely agree with everything you said. And actually, as a guy, you know, I have seen that change as well. So enabling, you know, my wife and so on and so forth to go into the office more and for me to pick the school ones up and do that sort of thing, flexible by running two businesses myself as well. And I think that's been really important. And again, you mentioned the pandemic. I do think that the pandemic has helped that, you know, that ability for managers or senior level individuals to realize that, do you know what, your staff can be really productive in this kind of flexible environment, and actually in some instances even more productive.
Even more, the research at the moment shows even more, so we'll see what continues to happen.
totally brilliant stuff. Well, look, we are here obviously to talk about The Apprentice as well, Scarlett. What was it like being on the show for you? And we mentioned the pandemic there. Obviously, you know, you were a finalist in 2019. So although it was a couple of years ago, it was actually the last show that was shown because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
How did it change your life? I mean, you mentioned earlier that it's been brilliant, but has it generally changed your life, Scarlett?
I would say it has. It has. Firstly, getting the investment from Lord Sugar has enabled me to grow the business. But I think if I'm honest with you, probably the key kind of change for me has actually been having a platform to kind of discuss some of the things that are important to me and bring some of those things to light that I did not have before. And I think that's probably been the biggest game changer. And I don't know, I know you spoke to Karina, I think, in week one, and I think she might have touched on a similar thing here. That, of course, when she won and, you know, I got the investment, pretty much the pandemic hit.
Yeah, straight away.
So, in the world of recruitment, like 90% of our business and clients, we were very heavily automotive and aerospace orientated.
Just
gone. Yeah, was gone overnight. And the shock to the system was like, oh my gosh. I mean, thankfully, you know, we just did a quick U-turn and we went further into some of the other industries, and we were actually fine and profitable throughout, which, you know, I'm very grateful for. But it certainly gave me a reality check. And I think only now we're coming out of the pandemic, and only now I'm really like, right, let's properly really push and grow the business. Because it has been a bit of a nerve-wracking time, if I'm honest.
Yes, I mean, you're absolutely spot on. Karina did touch upon that as well. And I've asked actually all of our guests, you know, most of the winners and finalists that we've had on the show have all obviously got their own businesses or started their own businesses up. And, you know, most people say that actually the pandemic has been a struggle. I mean, our own experience, myself and Chris started Phoenix 51 in the pandemic. We started... I know, what an unbelievable journey. We started 2020 off by saying, right, we're going to launch a digital assessment platform and go out to the mainstream market with it. And then obviously the pandemic hit, the recruitment business that I operate as well, exactly the same, like 90% of the revenue just dropped off a cliff in a week. And I was like, holy moly, like how are we going to finance the new business essentially?
Yeah. That's what's doing that.
Yeah, exactly. That was kind of one thing was doing the other. And then ultimately, you know, we made it work. And I think that's what I love about being entrepreneurial, having really good people around you is, okay, we've got a problem. How do we solve it? It's not a case of we can't. It's a case of how do we? How do we adapt? How do we change? How can we move in that right direction?
Absolutely agree with you. And let's be honest, you know, we have to see these things as an opportunity. How many businesses are born from the pandemic, and how many businesses and entrepreneurs actually do really well in a pandemic environment? Probably particularly in PPE, but, you know, it's...
my wife works in the NHS, right? So, you know, you think about our story in the sense of where we are, where our business were, 90% revenue drop-offs. But then you think about kind of medical or NHS and you're thinking, wow, I mean, they're probably the busiest they've ever been, you know, they've been. So madness all around. But I'm so happy that businesses that are well-oiled machines, that have got a really good foundation, can continue in the light that after the pandemic, because a lot of businesses couldn't. And that for me is the shame. You see a lot of, even going into major cities, I travel into London 2-3 times a week. And you see a lot of the little smaller coffee shops, down, and you think, that's a real shame, isn't it, Scarlett?
Yeah, it is. It genuinely is. Because you've got to remember, people put in their life, and I don't know if it's because we work in the world, you know, in the world of recruitment, you're very conscious that this is people's lives. Your livelihood makes up, honestly, a huge amount of your day and your life, you know, and it's not a joke, is it? So, no, I totally agree with you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, look, let's get into it then. Episode 8. This is this year, class of 2022, as I'm calling it, The Apprentice. Now, obviously, when I won back in 2008, it wasn't about Lord Trigger investing. It was about working with him and getting experience. But I had the best of both worlds because I ended up setting up a company called Amscreen with him and his son, Simon Sugar, who is absolutely amazing, by the way. And the business has gone from strength to strength. So I got best of both worlds. You, obviously, on the other hand, got the business investment. And this is class of 2022 we're going after. What have you made of the episode 8? You know, this was I remember my series was a supercar task that we had on task 10. I project managed. Obviously, we won. Fantastic. But it reminded me a little bit of that because obviously it was just the meetings and track days and events and all that sort of stuff. What did you make of this episode, Scarlett?
Do you know what? Honestly, Lee, I absolutely loved it. And I don't know if it was because it was, you know, this supercar and I'm in the world of manufacturing and automotive. And actually, it was hosted just in Warwickshire, which is just up the road from me as well. I was like, oh my gosh, this is my task. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. Really good. I think our equivalent might have been the roller coaster task. I don't know. It might be the winery one. I think it was back to front for us, actually. It was. Yeah, it was back to front.
Yeah,
it could have been.
So the project managers, what I find fascinating about The Apprentice, for the amount of series, it was one series 16. Now, you were series 15, weren't you?
Yes.
So we're series 16. And it never ceases to amaze me, certainly in the earlier rounds, where, you know, candidates don't understand the concept. Is actually, if you do a really good job and you put your effort in, even if you're not project manager, you won't get taken into the boardroom, and therefore you can't get fired. So people are still scrapping and whatever. But now you get to kind of week 8. You've got some really good people left in the process now.
Right? Yeah.
But you're still making them silly or, you know, strange mistakes. What did you think about Harpreet being a project manager and obviously versus Stephanie this week being project manager?
I think that Harpreet and Stephanie have got very, very different styles. Is what I'd say. I mean, I was sort of watching, and I actually thought Harpreet was great. She's very dominant. In fact, I'd call her militant. I mean, she is not taking any. It's Harpreet's way or it's no way.
I think Karen Brady. I think Karen said, didn't she? She's like, she's more militant than Gordon Ramsay or something like that.
She did.
Literally bang, bang,
she
bang.
She was not taking any falls. But you know what I have to say? That is such a bold approach in The Apprentice, because everything would lie on her shoulders. So I have to have respect for that, because although no one else was able to make a decision, and maybe they needed to speak up a bit more and challenge her a little bit more, to be fair to her, she was strong, she was dominant, and, you know, yeah, it was her way, but it actually did pay off for her.
I completely agree. And again, just going back on experiences just in The Apprentice for the both of us, I remember it was the supercar task, actually, that I just referenced a minute ago for us, and it was week 10. And we had to pick two cars to sell. And we went with a really high-end car. It was called a Zonda. And it was, I think from memory, it was like $2,500 to rent for the day. And that was a high-end strategy. But we also balanced it out with a kind of a Ferrari, which was £600 to rent or whatever for the day. And myself and Alex and Lucinda were three people left. Lucinda, bless her, didn't have a clue what to do on supercars. So some people said I just left her out to the animals, but I just said I'm going to win this task. And me and Alex just absolutely flew, and we sold these Zonda days and Zonda days, and we ended up winning the task. And sometimes I knew, like Harpreet, like you just said, I knew that it was on me. Like if I didn't sell that, I was going because it was a high-end strategy that had to pay off.
It's like a do-or-die mentality you have to have in there. Yeah. Like, you are all in, and that you have to have that attitude, I think, to survive as well. Whether the decisions you make are right or wrong, it's better to be, my experience was, it was better to be strong in them and go with it, and at least, and I think Lord Sugar respects that. I think Lord struggles with people that are a bit on the fence and they're a bit in the back. And it's kind of like, okay, I made this decision. Actually, it was horrendous, and this is what happened. You know, I'd created a roller coaster that was, you know, it was ridiculous because I was going big or going home. And he didn't quite understand that. But I stood by it. Even at the end, I was like, I still think it was better. He was like, you've not won. You've not won. It's kind
of... It's haven't happened. No, but I think, look, that big, bold thing, I think, again, our industry... You know, obviously, Ricky's in our industry as well.
Yeah.
Another previous good friend of both of ours and another previous winner as well. And, you know, when you look at the recruitment industry, it does teach you that them kind of that entrepreneurial spirit or that entrepreneurial flair. So I think we have a bit of advantage on that. What did you think about, you know, we talk about Harpreet's dominance. What about Stephanie? Because she has been, up until this week, she's actually been really strong.
I like her a lot.
Yeah.
I like her a lot. I thought she was very strong. I thought she was very collaborative, which actually I think is a nice kind of leadership style to have. I thought that the team were engaged with her. Her and Catherine obviously get on very well. So I thought on the whole she did well. I think the negotiation piece.
That hurt her though, didn't it?
It hurt her because the first thing you would, and it's so easy for us in this position to sit here and for everybody at home to kind of sit there and say, oh my gosh, you would do that. But in the scenario and the way things are, it is much more difficult than that. But I guess from my perspective, I'd be like, the first thing you'd normally want to know is, what does the customer value? What does the customer kind of want to get out of this? And that's your negotiation rather than actually the price. The price comes with that. And I was like, oh, you missed a trick there. So what did you think?
Again, I think it was probably her weakest week. Like, in
that
week there. But no, I think the negotiation really hurt her. But what I liked about it is she owned it. And she said straight away, I'm not happy with that. I know I'm gonna put my hands up to that. And I think, like you just said earlier, I think Lord Sugar respects that. I think most people respect that. Don't try and cover it up or blag it or do something. Just say, do you know what, made a mistake. But
yeah,
I've learned from that mistake. And I know a lot of people watching this now or watching The Apprentice, it's easy for them to but they're meant to be the best business people in the world. The reality is business changes every day, doesn't it? Let's be honest about it. you don't really have a smooth 2, 3, 4 months. It's always up and down. So you have to be able to adapt. And I personally think if you're in your comfort zone, you're not learning. So you need to jump out to learn. And that is one of the things the apprentice definitely does. Do you agree?
It does. I absolutely wholeheartedly agree. I would say that it teaches resilience, or it tests resilience.
Completely.
That's really, and I actually think Lord Sugar, Karen, Tim on this series.
He's
been
amazing, by the way.
He's been great. Claude's amazing as well, but I think Tim's been fabulous. Actually, I think they're looking for growth. They're looking for growth. They're looking, they're okay for you to make a mistake. They want to see you've learned from it, and they want to see that week on week you are going, you know, you were doing better and you're stronger and stronger. And in my experience, if I'm honest, I think that process, because as you go in, you're a little bit naive. As you continue week on week and you realise how it works, I think for some people it can knock their confidence as well. Because then they think, oh gosh, I've got to get up and say this. I've got to, you're starting to work out how it kind of works. Whereas when you first go and you're a bit naive, you're like, oh, well, just go for it. You know, and you kind of need to have that whole way through. Yeah.
I've asked every one of our guests so far on the show how your record was. I don't know if you're in recruitment, so I'm sure you probably know your record, but Green's record was very, very impressive.
Green's was
I think she only lost one task, if any. It's incredible. What was you in the final three of the boardroom loads? Like, did you?
No, I was in the final. I think I was in the boardroom, I think, 3 times.
Okay,
so and then I think, wins wise, I think I might have won 9 of the tasks. I PM'd for 2, and I think I sub PM'd for a lot of them. I think the stats, I can't remember off the top of my head, but I think they were decent.
They sound good. They sound good. We'll move on. But it's quite interesting. You see, because Lord Sugar this week, getting to the boardroom this week, when the two teams had set up and they'd worked out what they were going to go after, and Harpreet said, well, we're going high end, and, you know, the Stephanie and the other team sort of said, we're going to go something different. I just felt that the way the episode went, the team building, the way they got the customer or the client involved, Harpreet's team was always going to win. That's how it felt to me watching it. Did you agree?
No, I don't actually. I really wasn't sure. I think it was very unfortunate for Stephanie's team that the catering side of things with Akshay and Nick was just... when they were walking through with the trolleys, I was dying.
Yeah, you are.
I was dying. I thought, no. You'd have to pretend this was part of the experience.
Yeah.
So that part I knew would obviously let them down. But I have to say, and I think there's two people we've got a champion here, Brittany and Aaron saved the day. And I think Aaron definitely, and Brittany in particular, I thought were phenomenal this week.
Do you know what? Yeah, I completely agree. And actually, what I loved, the moment that Brittany kind of tapped Aaron in the boardroom, sort of said, yes, you know, like we did it. Because
she acknowledged him. Oh, that was something great you did, Aaron. And you do not 100%. See that much in the boardroom. And I thought,
I know.
I like Brittany a lot. I like her a lot.
I agree. And again, it's really interesting with Brittany because she's had some real quiet weeks. Like in the first few weeks, it was like, come on, Brittany, we're ever going to see you. And you know, she started to step up a bit. I think she had a very, very strong week this week. I think Aaron has been really, really strong. We used Phoenix 51, the platform, to actually assess the halfway point as well as we've been assessing all of the weeks. And Brittany and Aaron were kind of mid-range. They were a little bit behind. They needed to have some really strong weeks. And I think they're starting to do that now. When Chris is back next week, it'll be really interesting to see the data, how that looks. But you know, for sure... There was an instance where I thought Akeem is never going to get a word in edgeways with Harpreet anyway. So, like, I wouldn't worry about Akeem.
Poor Akeem and his rice. We've got to give a moment for the rice.
Lord Sugar said, how much does 500, you know, like a big mound?
Aaron was like...
Yeah, it was loads. It's just like a massive mound of rice.
Five keys.
To be fair to Akeem, he was starting to kind of debate with Harpreet in the boardroom. Well, you told me to do a second batch.
Because you know what I think happened? I think what happened to Akeem is I think Harpreet knocked his confidence. So he almost wasn't sure how to make rice. And then she was like, just make me the rice. She offloaded it to him. I don't want to hear anything about, like, just make me the rice. So he's almost like, oh my God, I'll make a second batch just to go.
To be fair as well, I did think, you know, this is so hard for the viewers and listeners as well that haven't obviously been on the process like myself and Scarlett. I thought it was incredibly difficult not only to choose the right, you know, food and lunch and that sort, but then to go and make it as well. Like, they had to make it, like, you know, high-end lunch. I mean, come on, this is seriously testing. So I think they've done all of them, to be fair, done decent. Well. Other than Akshay and Nick. Sorry, back in a minute. I'll tell you some more facts while I'm putting the dolly trolley.
It was just that part. Oh gosh, it was one of the highlights.
I know. So you've got them pushing the trolley through. They've messed up the lunch and all that sort of stuff, and basically gone into the boardroom. Do you think the team that won was deserved winners in the end? Obviously, when you come through with the figures. I don't know whether it was in your series or not. It definitely wasn't in mine all them years ago. Yeah. But we never had refunds. We never had a scenario where you could give refunds. But so that's kind of been new, I think.
And you know what? I think what's nice about that is The Apprentice is so known for this, we're driving profit all the time, and business. And I think maybe that's perhaps how business has evolved as well over that period of time. It's like, actually, it's profit, but it's quality as well. And it's what was the customer experience? And I think it's a good element that they now have in there. But what that means is you've literally got no idea at all until you're in the boardroom, even if you think you've smashed it on the profit side.
Yeah.
They might all want refunds, you know. So
you sitting there in the back of the, we had Chrysler's, I don't know what cars you had, the Volkswagen's or whatever, but back of the cars, you're writing things down, you're thinking, right, we've sold this much, that's how much profit, we must have this, I think we might have won, I don't know. It's constant, isn't it?
Constant. Your mind is like, because you know £1 could make the difference. Like, literally £1, you're like, oh my, every single thing that you do, you just, and you're, everyone around you is waiting to pinpoint it on you if it's gone wrong. So you know that every decision you make, everything you do, you're like, I need to be accountable for this. The pressure is insane.
It is. And going back to the point you made about Heartbreak, when she's, you know, with her kind of all-in type, you know, going high-end, Brittany actually turned around, didn't she? And she said, look, actually, if we do this ourselves, the driving experience, we could save £1,000. So you could see Brittany's head was thinking, hang on, let's save money. And you know, it's a balance between going for it and then saving money and stuff.
Sometimes it did pay off. Sometimes it's the right thing to do, and sometimes it's not the right thing to do. You know, it is a balance. You know, if I'm honest with you, I think that Harpreet's team, I think that they did give the better experience. I wasn't sure who was gonna win. I really wasn't sure who was going to lose and win.
I haven't put my my flag, if you like, to the mast in any of these shows, because I like the data to do the talking and see who the front runners are, and Heartbreak's getting up there now, and Catherine and Stephanie have been front runners throughout much of the process. And I'm not sure I should give my opinion on it yet. Maybe I'll wait until the
only you just give your opinion. I want to hear it.
I really am championing Catherine. I have to be honest. You know, some of the stuff that she's done early rounds for me was really good. I think that she's you know, she's put herself out there. She's got a smile on her face. She's trying to get the you know, people involved. She's always in and around the, similar to you, like either project manager or sub project manager, she's always ready to put herself out there. I really respect that and I like that.
I think
she could have helped Stephanie more this week. I was a bit worried for her this week.
I think she was a bit shocked, because I could see in the boardroom when Lord Sugar was kind of going, because he was going between the two, probably to give him a little shock. He likes to do that, doesn't he?
He does, he does.
He likes to, like, let's just push him a bit further. I could see she was genuinely shocked, like, huh? You know, and it can happen like that. But yeah, I think she seemed to have a quieter week. I think it would have been, for me, it would have been really nice for her and Stephanie, actually, to have stepped up on the negotiation more. I know we don't see it all. And also the tour. I felt like the tour, and it's not easy, because you have got all this information and you don't know what on earth you're talking about, and you're trying to guide these people and you're thrust into it. But I think maybe just to even try and waffle a little bit, or make it a bit more exciting or engaging, like, come on, you know, they're out on their day out, which Brittany and Aaron did really well. I think that they were both missing it. Maybe they weren't in the best position. Perhaps they're, you know, one of, I don't know, perhaps they should have switched up that team a little bit more. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I do agree. I mean, I think Stephanie's been really strong. I think Aaron and Heartbreak, I think Brittany, I think Akshay, I thought he was going to really step up this week. And unfortunately for him, he kind of let himself down again. Yeah. Let's speak to the final boardroom. So obviously Harpreet's team's won. They've gone to the wonderful Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, of course.
Yes.
You know, part of my fabric in terms of Spurs. And that was fantastic for them. But in actual fact, instead of choosing, Lord Trigger said, right, you're all coming back.
You're all in. And, you know, I think it was the right decision.
Yeah, exactly. I'm thinking double pairing.
They were all thinking it. I was thinking spot on. It was the right decision because you're right. Stephanie and Catherine seemed a little bit clicky and it felt like it was going to be over to the boys. And actually, yeah, some of the violence had also been both. It did feel a little bit like, I think Lord Sugar made the right decision. I think he looked at the previous weeks and he kind of made the decision pretty much on that gut feeling. And I think in that scenario, I don't think there was one person that made it a win or a fail in that team. This week, and again,
I think what Lord Sugar did this week is he looked at all that, like you said, and said, right, what have I had over the last 8 weeks from all of you? And he's kind of weighed it up. And unfortunately for Nick, he gets the finger. And ultimately, was that the right decision? I mean, I can't disagree, but I think actually has been on the boardroom 5 times. But Tom Pellerou, who is absolutely amazing and obviously, you know, winner of Series 7, He was in a boardroom for 5 times.
Was it?
Crazy stats coming out of here. So I think
that's the thing. And sometimes, genuinely, like, you can only give your own maximum contribution. Sometimes you're in a team and it has failed, but you've still given your absolute 100%. So I don't think those stats can always be completely reflective of the individual contribution. I mean, at least Akshay has managed to have some more time to show his character to Lord Sugar. I mean, he was like, I'll be PM next week. So we knew he needed to do something. And Lord Sugar was like, yeah. Okay. I don't know. I think Nick and Akshay, you know, I wasn't sure who was going to go home out of the two of them.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think at the end of the day, he's made that decision, hasn't he, that he's going to be Nick, and Nick got the finger. Yeah. So moving on then, who do you think, like, having watched all the episodes and seen episodes yesterday, and what's your view, Skylar, on who's going to get forward? Because I always think top five is a big milestone. If you get to the top five, the interviews, you've got a real chance.
Are we going to give our top five predictions? Is it two? Should we give our top five?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do top five predictions.
Okay, top five predictions are going to be, Harpreet, Stephanie, Catherine, Brittany and Aaron.
So Aaron, Brittany, Stephanie, Catherine.
Yes.
And who's the other one?
Harpreet.
Oh, Harps. Yeah. I think Harpreet as well. So that means that we think Akshay and... How many's left? There's 7 left now. So we think Akshay and Akeem will be fired before the top five.
But you know, I have to be honest, I need to see a bit more of Akeem. I've kind of put Aaron in because he just did so well then. But I think maybe Akshay will step up next week on PM. But yeah, I think so.
Well, he put himself forward, didn't he, to say I can make this happen or whatever as PM. I don't want to sound boring, but I agree with you. I think the top five is that. I actually think the top five is that. I do think a lady, a woman will win. I do.
Seems to be the case, Lee, doesn't it? What's happened?
Well, if you think about our top five, you know, four are going to be women. So the odds are against the lads. I do think Aaron has quietly gone about his business. I liked his mannerism. I like the way he was in episode 8. I think his negotiation was okay. And I think that, you know, the way that he was trying to find out and the way they worked together with Brittany. Brittany might be a little bit of a kind of, you know, a back marker that's coming forward. I think Catherine and Stephanie have them two to watch out for. But I think at the moment, Harps is probably the front runner, I would probably say.
I think with Harpreet.
Yeah, I say Harpreet. I'm just calling it Harps.
I know, you're so familiar. You and Harps go back now. I think with Harpreet and Lord Sugar, I would be interested to see that dynamic because, as we know, Lord Sugar is very dominant and very clear with kind of the way he thinks and the way he wants things to be done. And so does Harpreet seem that way. So it's whether then they could work together.
That's really interesting. And again, when we get to the final five, the four or five candidates that are left, you have to start weighing that dynamic up. You know, you've got to look at the assessment and how well they've done. Now, I remember Lord Sugar asking me, I messed up completely, obviously, on the interview process. If anyone remembers my series, it was an absolute nightmare, shocker. And I thought I was going to get fired, and Lord Sugar could have definitely fired me. But I remember he said to me, "Why shouldn't I fire you?" I said, "Well, I've messed up once in 11 weeks. 11 yeah, weeks, yeah. I've been absolutely outstanding. I've never been in the final three of the boardroom. I've never yeah. been taken in. Like, I've been superb."
And are you trying to make me jealously? Hey, yeah. Is that what's happening?
It's the recruiter in me. But no.
Is this because you won and I was the runner-up? Is this what's happening?
It's still good work. I mean, I thought I was going to go, but he kept faith with me. And then I ended up with obviously winning the show. So, you know, I think that there is that element there. I think it's open. And I think Akshay...
I think it's open and that's nice.
I think if Akshay smashes it next week, on Thursday...
He could be back in.
He could put himself... Or...
He needs to do something strong there, because there's some dominant characters there. There is some dominant characters.
Yeah. I mean, and it's also there... It's not QVC, but it's the shopping channel, isn't it? And the fact that the most famous shopping channel, one I remember, obviously, year before me, Series 3, when Simon Ambrose was on the little trampoline thing, and then he's screwing the thing in, and it looked so horrendous. That was the first time they used Shopping Channel, I think, and it was brilliant. So it'd be very interesting to see how Akshay works on that as PM. Is he going to be the director, or is he going to put himself out of the front and actually do the selling and negotiation? So that
he needs to do something. So hopefully he will step up, yeah, and you can see him, because that's what he needs, isn't it? That's what you always need. It's like having that exposure.
Did you ever feel, and this might just not be in The Apprentice, so viewers and listeners and stuff might be able to identify this as well, just in life, but you know, sometimes, did you ever feel like, I'm not doing well enough, I need to, you know, inject another 10 or 15% effort into what I'm doing? I remember feeling that sometimes on some of the tasks. I was thinking, I'm drifting here. I need to get in, like, and get involved more, to be not necessarily to be noticed or shout loud than anyone else, but just to
give them 120%.
Do you know me?
To be totally honest with you, I think that's the way I function in life. I think I'm even if I'm at the top, I'm constantly like, how can I do better? How can I do better? How can I do better? Yeah, and I think I was very aware when I was in that process that I had a business that was very much in its infancy, Harper Fox Partners, that I was taking time out, had two little girls that I'd left with my mom. I'd put a huge amount of pressure on kind of my support network. So I knew I was giving 1,000,000% in every single task, because I just couldn't justify not doing that for being away from my children. So I would say I might have been in a slightly different space. Did I feel like at times, they're not noticing every idea I've done and everything I've contributed? 110%. But I tried anyway, yeah.
I remember speaking, it got made up in the media as well, actually. It was only on week one or week two or something like that. And I remember speaking about myself in third person. And I didn't even know what I was doing. It's just because back in the day, you had your phone thing, didn't you? And you had to you're on a loudspeaker, no one knows who you are. There's about 9 different voices or whatever. And you're like, Lee McQueen, I'm talking or whatever. And people are like, he's using himself in the third person. I'm thinking, it's only because my teammates don't know who I am, right? So it's like week one. That's quite tough, isn't it? You know, to go into that scenario, be filmed the whole time. I think that's another thing that viewers don't realise.
Oh, it's constant.
We have cameras running around with us all the time. On The Apprentice, you do. And say on camera.
Absolutely. And also, the other thing to remember is, you know, sometimes things aren't taken out of context, but sometimes you're more passionate in that moment because you know how many things are kind of riding on it. Like, I remember doing the toy turtle with Tommy, and I think it was task 2 or might have been task 3. And like, Tommy's going on about, you know, it being a certain colour, and I'm going about a certain colour. And I remember, like, at that point, they're asking me, what do you think? You know, just at that moment where I'm about to lose my head, what do you think about what Tommy said? I'm like, I'm so angry. And really, like, was I that bothered? No. But, you know, in the moment, you're just, it is all adrenaline and go, 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 isn't it?
Totally is. And I think that, again, I look back on the experience. You know, I definitely would not have set up two businesses, let alone one business, but two businesses without going on The Apprentice. There's just no doubt that I wouldn't have done that. It gave me that experience to do that, that resilience you talked about earlier, but also that confidence, I suppose.
I was just going to say that.
Actually, give it a go.
Do do you know what? I agree with you. And even though you get shut down in the boardroom at times and Karen's rolling her eyes at other times, there's times that she smiles and there's times that Lord Sugar smiles and you're like, gosh, if these people who are, and Claude in my show and obviously Tim in this one, if these people who are so astute, so successful, think I'm good, it's kind of like, well, I must be good in this area. And, you know, I totally agree with that. I think it does give you some confidence building as well.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. So we've looked at our top five. Let's put it out there. Who do you think will make the final? It was an all-female final, obviously, between yourself and Karina. Do you think it will be another all-female final? And can I press you on who do you think is going to win?
I'm going to go controversial here. And this, I think you're going to say...
Female final? No way.
No. sorry, lads. I'm going to go controversial. So although I think you might say Stephanie and Catherine, mm-hmm. I'm going to go... I don't know. I'm going to go Brittany and Harpreet.
I don't disagree. I think I'm willing. It's not that I actually think Harpreet is one of the come out this week. I want to see the data next week. I think she's the strongest candidate at the moment.
Okay.
And I do agree with you. I do think that she's, you know, there's a bit about her that's quite forceful. And will Lord Sugar think, oh, I can't quite work with Harpreet on that. But I do think that Catherine and Stephanie, they need to have a really good week next week as well. And we already know that Akshay is the project manager on one of them. So I think the person that's coming up from the back of the queue, as it were, coming forward, is Brittany. So, you know, I think it is open.
I think she's likable as well.
Yeah.
They all are.
The thing about Brittany for me is that she's, I don't know, that obviously I haven't seen anyone's business plans or anything like that, but I think that she fits the profile of somebody that's going to grow into a business partner, like what you said earlier. But rather than somebody who's got something already, do you know what I mean? It's going on in business.
I agree with that. Although I have to, so in some ways it feels, I hate to use that word, but is she more kind of moldable, like an actual apprentice and going into, you know, that real entrepreneur? But I have to say, I noticed, and I don't know if you've talked about this, but the age demographic in this candidate pool is definitely older than what I've seen before. So is it that Lord Sugar wants someone that's a little bit more experienced?
Yeah, interesting.
That's had those trials and tribulations.
when you look at the things, you know, the questions that he was asking Nick, for example, obviously, you know, bless Nick, but he's been fired now, but obviously when he's asking Akshay in the boardroom, but what are you going to bring to me, what you know, I've seen you five times, like, what can you actually do? What are you good at? Like, if Lord Sugar doesn't know at this point what their good skill set is, that's the other thing. In the early rounds, the apprentice does focus on the negative stuff, the comedy stuff, people being clowns, whatever. And I think that's I get defensive of that a little bit, because obviously being on the show myself, same as you, I think, well, hang on, you know, we went through such a tough time in making, you know, making the show and putting yourself out there. I don't want to be known as, oh, you're a comedian or, you know, a clown.
And what people forget or don't realise is that you haven't got access to Google. You don't know what time it is. You can't see a map. So... Yeah. You haven't got a calculator. So all of a sudden you do sound silly if you're trying to add up 24 and 58. You're like, hold on a minute, because you've probably not done that since you was in year 7 at school.
I know. It's so embarrassing, isn't it? You're like, hang on a minute.
That's why it's very easy to judge. But yeah, it is a real tough process. And they're incredible to be in that process. Everybody that's in that process will be incredible business people as well.
Yeah, agreed. They don't run their own businesses beforehand if you're not. Scholar, I have to say, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on this week. Would love to get you back on later in the series if you're up for it. We've been waiting to get the amazing Ricky Martin on. Hey. For the show. I wanted to get Ricky on for the interviews, you know, from a recruitment perspective. Love you to get you back on as well later on in the show if you're up for it, maybe for a live final special or something like that, if you're up for it.
Love it. We'd absolutely be up for it, and I've got huge respect for Ricky, so definitely would be an honor.
So where can people find you, where can they follow you, how can they find out more about your business and all the lovely sorts of things?
Yeah, absolutely. So Harper Fox Partners is our search firm, executive recruitment within energy internationally and engineering. And then me personally, Scarlett Allen Horton, on Instagram, on LinkedIn. Reach out.
Absolutely brilliant. So there you have it, 9 down. Next week's show will be also on a Monday rather than the morning after the night before. So please subscribe. YouTube, you can listen via Spotify, Apple, Amazon, all via Audio Boom as well. Check out the socials for Scarlett as well. You've been absolutely brilliant, Scarlett. Thanks once again. Don't forget to subscribe, hit that like and share button, and see you next time on In the Line of Hire.
Hey.